Welcome to Adoption Talk by Spence Chapin, the podcast where all the voices of the adoption constellation come together. Twice a month, this podcast brings you conversations with adoptees, birth parents, adoptive families, and adoption professionals as they share their experiences and discuss all things adoption. We're glad you've joined us. Welcome to the first episode of a very special National Adoption Awareness Month series, Stories of the Constellation, where each week we will be highlighting the diverse and unique stories of individuals and families connected to adoption. This is the first of a four-part series discussing search and reunion, kinship adoption, sibling perspectives, and adoptee voices. We'll first be speaking with Paulette, a Spence Chapin adoptee who learned she was adopted as an adult and spent decades searching for her birth family. Originally interviewed for a blog series on our website, Rocky Road to Reunion, Paulette's journey had her crossing the country, utilizing DNA testing, and fighting legal barriers. We are pleased to share the conversation between Spence Chapin's Alexandra Poirier and Paulette, where she shares her remarkable story. Hello, my name is Alex Poirier, and I work at Spence Chapin in the Development and Communications Department. I'm here today with Paulette Lewis, who is a Spence Chapin adoptee and who has very graciously allowed us to share her story of search and reunion. Thanks so much for being here, Paulette.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. My name is Paulette Lewis, and I'm one of the many adoptees at a Spence Chapin Adoption Agency, and doing this podcast for them so everyone can know my life story and how I was reunited with my biological family. Mm-hmm. You know, so a little bit about myself. I am a mother of five children. I have two gorgeous daughters and three handsome sons. I have five grandchildren, one beautiful granddaughter, and four handsome grandsons. You know, we just had a new arrival in February.
Congratulations.
And he's a bundle of joy, you know. And then my son, my youngest son, has his two-year-old, and my middle son has the other three. My two oldest doesn't have any children. I am soon to graduate with my bachelor's degree in business management, entrepreneurship. I'm still in ministry. I love the Lord with all my heart because it was God that took me through everything in my life and brought me to this point. I love music. I love to cook. I love to dance. I sing. You know, it's just amazing from the time I found out I was adopted up until now. Mm-hmm. And all of the positive things that's going on in my life.
That's really nice to hear. Could you tell me a little bit more about when you first learned that you were adopted?
When I first learned, one of my siblings and I got into a big altercation and she just blotted it out.
Wow.
And, I was 17 at the time. Then when I learned again is when my adoptive mom passed away. Mm-hmm. And then it was told to me. And I was really hurt because, mm-hmm. you know, I always thought, okay, this is my family. You know, I've been with them ever since I was two, you know, and I'm just finding all this out. And when I started asking questions, no one wanted to give me any answers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think my mom, who I love dearly, and I miss her every day. God knows I miss her every day. She was my person I can just call and lean on. You know, my mom that raised me. And I miss my birth mom, because I never got to meet her. You know, I talked to her over the phone one time when I was in the eighth grade and I got in trouble and my mom called her. And I tell you, that was a conversation. I just cried and cried and cried. And, you know, you let me know, get yourself together.
Yeah, because you're like, who is this person on the phone?
Because she never gave me her name or anything. So, you know, I didn't know who it was. And then when I graduated at a junior high school, I remember leaving because my mom had us, me and my two other siblings, in Catholic school. So, you know, we had to hurry up and get to the church for the graduation. And when I left, there was nothing sitting up on my dresser. No cards, no nothing. So when I came home, there was a card sitting up on the dresser. And I was like, wow, who is this from? And I looked at the handwriting. And I said, this person has a beautiful handwriting, whoever this is. So when I opened it up, I read the card and they put a message on the inside of the other part of the card. And it was, you know, you grew up to be a beautiful young lady. Now you're heading to high school, follow your dreams, you know. And they just put their name, their first name. And I said, well, who is this? Because I know all my mother's friends. So when I asked my mom, I was like, mommy. She was like, yes. I was like, who gave this card? There was money in it and everything. Who is it? And she said, oh, it's just a friend. And I said, oh, but I always remembered, but I couldn't remember the full name. I just knew that the name, the first letter in the name was S.
Ah.
That's all I remember. I, you know, because they didn't put the their full name, they just put their first name. So, you know, I said, well, tell them I said thank you. And that was it. And we never again talked about my adoption when I found out or anything. My mother was upset with her daughter because she let her know. If I wanted her to know, I would have told her myself, you know. So it was out in the open, but we didn't, we never discussed it because she felt I wasn't ready to accept because she's seen how I react. So, you know, I forgot all about it, went on. Then when she passed away, I said, okay, Paulette, this is the time you need to find out who you are. And I still waited a couple of years. And then my dad, who raised me, he passed away. So I said, okay, you definitely have to find your family now. You know, both of your parents are gone. No one is giving you any answers when you ask. They say, oh, we just, you know, knew mommy was going to adopt you, and she said she was going to adopt you, and the next thing she brought you home. So I was like, okay. So in 2001, that's when I started. I said, I'm going to find my birth family. And my, at the time I was still married, because I'm a divorcee, but I was still married to my husband, and I, you know, we had the five children. So we took a trip to New York, and I told him, I said, while we're in New York, I want to start my search. And my kids always wanted me, because when they found out that I was adopted, they was like, mommy, we're tired of calling people grandma and grandpa, and they are not a family, you know. So I said, okay. They said, you need to find your family. And my kids was all gung-ho for it, all of them. So we went to Manhattan, and we went to the big library that's in Manhattan that has the lions outside.
Yes.
And so downstairs, they have in the basement, they have like, it's like similar to an archive of everybody's birth in New York City. So the lady said, well, when were you born? And I told her what year. She said, okay, we'll start at the end of 1964 and then go through, and it was a lot of books. And she said, I said, well, how will I find myself? She said, by your birth certificate number. I said, okay. We were looking for the birth certificate number, and the birth certificate number kept coming up, but it wasn't me. So I said, and I asked, I said, well, what's going on here? I, you know, this is my birth certificate number. It's coming up, but it's not me. She said, oh, back then, a lot of the births got the same birth certificate number. And I'm like, oh, that's crazy. So she said, yes. She said, but you in there somewhere. So we looked and we looked, we spent the whole day just looking through those books, and there was nothing there of my birth. And she said, well, what borough was you born in? I said, in Manhattan. None. I was looking in the wrong borough. I was looking in the wrong borough because I was born in Manhattan, but my mom and her family lived in Brooklyn.
Okay, yeah.
So, but then I said, I still should be in Manhattan because she wasn't living at home when she gave birth to me. My grandmother put her in a home for unwed mothers, teens. So, you know, that's where she had me. And then they took me out of her arms when I was 2 days old in the hospital. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, this is like a dead end. So I go back home and I'm sitting there and my kids is just comforting me. Mommy, you're going to find out. Don't worry about it. You're going to find out. And I'm like, I don't even know where to start now. So I was on the computer and I was just messing around and, you know, looking at New York City because I lived in Utah at the time. So I'm looking at New York City and I'm coming across different websites. And then a website pops up and it's for adoptees to register. And I'm going, and it's out of Albany, New York. So go on the registry and register, and they will only give you, if your parents registered with them, your birth parents, then you will get their names, you know, and their addresses, last known addresses. Mm-hmm. But if neither one of them registered, you won't get that information. You get all unidentified information. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, I'm going to try this. I tried it. I wrote them. I filled out the application. I sent it in. A few weeks later, I'm all excited because my daughter goes to the mailbox. She said, Mommy, do you remember when you went on the way? I said, yes. She said, your information is here. So now we're tearing it open to see what it says. And, you know, it's giving me information about my grandparents. It's giving me information about my mom, you know, how many siblings she had. It's giving me information about how many children she had. And I'm like, but it's not giving me no names. Mm-hmm. I can't believe this. And I'm going, okay, it's not giving me any names. So they're saying, you know, they live on the northeast side of the world, or, you know, and out in California. And, you know, mm-hmm. what it, my grandmother's occupation, my grandfather's occupation, how old my mom was when I was born, how old my dad was when I was born, you know, what religious background they were. And I was like, okay, but they're giving me all of this, but still no names. I said, no. And they gave me how I knew Spence Chapin did my adoption, because they put the information in there and said the adoption agency that did your adoption was Spence Chapin.
Okay, so that's how you found out that it was Spence Chapin. I didn't know that.
Yes, they put all that in there. They even give you information on what agency did your adoption out of New York. So I said, okay, well, let me call them. So I called them, and I remember speaking to a woman. Oh, goodness, what was her name? Miss London. She's retired now. She used to work there. Mm-hmm. That Miss Lewis, come on in, I can talk with you and everything. So I made a special trip to New York to meet with her.
Wow. And
this is when Spence Chapin was in the, looked like a little house.
Yes. House.
And I was scared to ride the elevator because I was like, this elevator is old. You know, slow. And I'm going, how long has this building been up? Because this is an old elevator. Pull the gate and, you know, and the door closed, and I'm going, oh my goodness, this is a way too much.
I hope this is not how I die. Like,
and it was very slow, and I'm going, oh God. And so I get, and she's waiting at the elevator for me, and mm-hmm. she took me in the room and she said, how are you? And, you know, I did find out that her mother was my mother's caseworker.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, and I was, you know, I was sitting there and she said, what's wrong? And she seen the tears building up in my face. And I said, you know, it's been many years. I'm trying to find my birth family. I said, my adoptive parents passed away. I have no mom to talk to, you know, no one to talk to. I want to know where my family is. And so I said it, and, you know, I said to her, I said, can I ask you a question? And she said, sure. I said, why did my mother give me away? And she said, Miss Lewis, to be honest with you, your mother didn't give you away. I said, what are you talking about? I said, I was put up for adoption. She said, your mother didn't want to do that. I said, well, who did it? You know, and then she proceeded to tell me, you know, she said, your mother was young. When she got pregnant with you, she was 16. When she had you, she was 17. Your father was in his second year of college. So he was 19 when you were born. But your grandmother was like, no. No. Mm-hmm. Oh, I said, oh, really? I said, so my grandmother had something to do with this? She said, yes, your mother's mother. I said, so what happened? She said, you know, we was trying to look for your mom. She was doing, you know, just disappearing acts because she was trying to prolong not to do it.
Yeah.
And finally, my grandmother was like, you know, this child is in the system. Even though this is my grandbaby, my daughter cannot afford to take care of her. You know, she has to be put up for adoption. So my grandmother signed the papers. So she put my mom. So that's how everything went through. And I guess my mom that raised me, she, I don't know how they connected, but somehow or another, I was placed with the Curtis family. Mm-hmm. And the next thing I know, I was living with them. You know, so I told her, I said, so can you give me their name? She said, I'm sorry, I can't give you that. And I'm like, why did I take this trip? Nobody wants to give me the name. She said, you know, New York City would not allow adoptees to know. And I was like, that really, really sucks. You know, I said, because this is where, you know, I'm already in my late 40s and, you know, I know nothing about myself. Mm-hmm. So she said, I know it hurts and I know you want to know, but, you know, they have people who are fighting for adoptees to get to know who they are. And he said, okay. So years go by and I'm just sitting there and I didn't realize until my children FaceTime me, because they all live in different states and they all have their own families and, you know, all of them are grown. I don't have any little babies anymore. So, you know, so they said, mommy, we really need to talk to you. And I said, what's going on? They said, you know, we really want you to find your family. I said, I do want to find them, but every time I do, it's a brick wall.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, because we can remember the nights we heard you crying. And I'm like, seriously? They say, yes. There's plenty of nights we heard you cry and all you wanted to know was who you were. And people are so mean sometimes when they get mad at you and they know you was adopted, they'll say things like, that's why you was adopted, your family didn't want you, you know, and everything. And that hurts, you know, when someone that you know is saying this to you. And that's why you don't know who you are. And so I said, okay, this is where you're pushing me to even do it even more. So I'm sitting at home, and 2 years ago, my oldest daughter calls me and she said, mommy. I said, yeah. She said, have you ever thought about doing your DNA? I said, for what? She's like, to find your family. I said, no, I never thought about that. She says, so for Christmas, I'm gonna buy you an Ancestry DNA kit and you do it. I said, that's my Christmas present? And she says, yes. So, okay, no problem. She said, because if you see how much it is, it's your Christmas present. So it was like $100. So I said, okay, she sent it to me. I did it. And I didn't know the whole time I was living in Utah, I could have went to Salt Lake City and had it done. Because when you do your Ancestry DNA, it goes straight to Salt Lake City, Utah. And it's a big building in Salt Lake City and people from outside can come in and they can do their DNA, pay for it, or they can even go into the books and everything is there.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to my daughter, okay, I'm doing this. I sent it off. So I said, nah, we just gotta wait. And you know, my son, he came to stay with me because I had to have surgery and stuff. And so he's like, mommy, are you excited? I said, I just can't wait to, you know, finish it. And you have to register on your phone or your tablet or the computer, the kit, the number that's on the kit. So I said, okay. So I did all that. And every day I'm looking for a result. So finally, my son and I, it was like the third week after I sent it in, my son and I is walking to the grocery store to go grocery shopping. And I check my phone because I get an alert from Ancestry. And I go, okay, what is this? What are they telling me now? I open it up and they said, we finished your ancestry search. And all these people are on my ancestry DNA and I know none of them.
Wow. How many people do you think there were?
It was between, I thought it was all my mother's family, but they break it up. They break up the DNA. They do, even though I asked for my mom, they broke it up for my dad too. So I'm looking at over, 3,000 people that's on my DNA.
Wow. Wow.
Going from the first cousins, you know, your siblings. And the only way you can connect with your siblings is that your siblings has done some type of DNA test. So my son is like, well, who are these people? I said, I don't know. He's like, okay, so now we have this. Where do we start? So then I get a message on Ancestry DNA and my cousin Henry text me and introduce himself, and he's like, I'm your cousin Henry, you came up on my DNA, I just want to introduce myself to you, if you would like, you can call me and we can talk to find out how we're related. So I email him back, I message him back, and I go, hey cousin Henry, this is your cousin Paulette, you know, I got your message, when can I call you? And he said, you can call me now, I'm home. I said, okay. I call him and we're talking, and he's like, now we got to match up how we're related. And I say, yes, because there's too many people in here and I know nobody. And he says, either you're on my mother's side of the family or my father's side of the family. I said, okay, we know that much. So his aunt May, she does a lot of genealogy stuff. So we call her and I explain to her, you know, I was adopted, you know, in New York City. So she breaks everything down for me. And she said, I need you to contact your cousin, Kendra Ross. I said, okay. I said, I guess I'll send a message to her. So I sent a message to my cousin, Kendra, and I'm telling her I'm looking for my birth mom and my birth dad. And, you know, she answers me back. Hey cousin, how are you? Nice to meet you. She's telling me a little bit about herself. And she says, well, do you have a name? I said, no, I have no idea. And so
that's been the problem the whole time.
So I give her some of the information that's in the summary report that Spence Chapin also sends me. She said, I still have no idea who you're talking about. She said, but I'm praying that you find them. And she said, and when you do, let me know. I said, okay. So now months go by and my girlfriend who lives in New York, she had put one of her first child up for adoption and he found her, you know, through his DNA and everything. And so I was talking to her and she said, Paulette, she said, did you ever find your family? I said, no. I said, I keep running into a brick wall. She said, well, guess what? I said, what? She said, New York City is allowing adoptees to receive their original birth certificate. And I said, okay. She said, you go on Vital Records for New York City, and it's called pre-adoption birth certificate. I said, okay. She said, you can order it online or you can mail the application in. So I ordered it online. And they told me I was going to receive it in March. Well, March come and I'm excited. And I'm saying, okay, this is where I'm going to find out. Then the pandemic hits. And I'm going, I can't believe this.
Oh my gosh.
Pandemic hits, and I just can't believe it. But, you know, I learned everything is done for a reason. God allows everything to be done for a reason. So I said, okay, Paulette, pandemic hit. He doesn't want you to find out right now. So I'm like, okay. So now here's October comes around. That's when everything is starting to open again. So I call the Vital Records and I'm saying, you got my money. When will I receive the information? Then the lady's trying to tell me, well, we don't see your confirmation number in the system. I said, lady, I've been waiting for too long. So then she finds me and she goes, oh, Miss Lewis, you should be receiving it in a couple of days. I said, okay.
Wow.
Said, thank you. So I'm leaving out my house to go take care of some business. And when I walk out the house, I said, something says, check your mailbox. I check my mailbox. When I open up the mailbox, it says New York City Department of Vital Records. I said, is this it? I said, is this really it? And so I didn't open it. I went and I was getting ready to go take care of my business. And something detoured me back to my apartment. And I went up in my apartment and I called my friend and he was like, you got it? And I'm like, yes. He says, okay, I'm coming over. Don't open it until I get there. I said, okay. He comes and he says, are you ready to open it? And I said, no. He said, what's wrong with you? And I said, I don't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. He said, but you've been waiting all these years. I said, I know. He said, so why are you scared? I said, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. I said, and I pray it's not nobody that I know. Mm-hmm. So he says, you want me to open it for you? I'm like, no, let me do this. She said, okay. He's like, hurry up, come on. So I open it up and then I'm opening it up real slow because it's folded nice and neat, put in the envelope. And I look down and it says parents and it says mother, Susan Simon, father, no name. He said, do you know what Susan Simon? I said, no. And then it was brought back to me, the graduation card, Paulette. She put her name Susan at the bottom of the graduation card. And he said, are you sure? I said, I'm positive. So he said, that means your mother knew where you were and she communicated with your adoptive mom. Nobody probably knew that, but they knew each other. I said, okay. So he said, well, now that you got the information, how are you going to find her? I said, the best thing for me to do is to go back on Ancestry DNA and ask different ones that already introduced themselves to me as family and ask them, do they know her? So I close out Ancestry DNA and I'm still talking to my cousin. We get off the phone, about a week later, my cousin calls me again. And I open up Ancestry DNA and sure enough, it's a message from my cousin Kendra. So I said, oh God, what is she gonna say? So I opened it up and she said, hey cousin, sorry, I haven't got back in contact with you. She said, but to answer your question, yes, I know Susan Simon. She said, but sorry to let you know that she passed away in 2007. And she says, well, how do you know her? So I'm saying, wow. So I email her back and I'm holding back the tears. My cousin Henry's on the phone. He's like, what's wrong? I said, yeah, she passed away in 2007. And he start crying. I start crying. I said, but let me message my cousin Kendra back. So I messaged her back. And I said, Kendra, I need to tell you, Susan Simon is my mom. She's my birth mother. I said, call me ASAP so we can talk. And I leave my number. So the day went by, because I remember it was a Thursday when I opened up the message. I replied back to her. I closed it out and to see if she was going to call me. She didn't call me that Friday, but she called me that Saturday evening. And sometime when I look at my phone, if I don't know the number, I won't answer.
Me too. Yeah.
And so when I looked, I knew what state she lived in. I said, this must be my cousin Kendra. I picked it up and I said, hello. She's like, hey, is this cousin Paulette? I said, yes, it is. She said, this is cousin Kendra. I said, hi, how are you? And so she said, now tell me this. She said, Susan Simon is your mom? I'm like, yes. I said, I ordered my original birth certificate and her name is on it. I said, you said you knew her, she passed away 2007. I said, I was also told in the summary report from the adoption agency that I have a sister. I said, and I'm looking for her. She said, well, you don't have to look far. And I said, why? She said, because I talk to your sister all the time. Her name is Lisa. I was like, wow. She said, I've already broke the news to her on what you told me. And yes, it's overwhelming, you know, when you don't know. So she said, but she told me to give you her email address and she wants you to contact her. I said, okay. So me and Kendra just talking and I'm telling her, you know, but this is what they say in the summary report. My grandmother was a licensed beautician for 15 years until the doctor told her to get off her feet. And, you know, about my grandfather's occupation, you know, with the construction company and, you know, and Susan, what color hair she was, how tall she stood, you know. And yeah. So she said, okay. So we get off the phone and that Sunday morning, I got up, did my routine, showered, everything, ate breakfast. I said, okay, before you get busy, Paulette, email your sister. And I go and I introduce myself to my sister. I'm sending her pictures of me and the children and, you know, letting her know I was married for 30 plus years, but now I'm divorced and, you know, and she's emailing me back and send me pictures and send me pictures of her daughter and, you know, how she lost her husband and you know, me and her back and forth. And I sent her a copy. I said, I don't play with people's lives because I don't want anyone to play with mine. I said, here's a copy of my birth certificate. Here's a copy of the summary report. Here's the copy of the court order when my adoption became final. Mm-hmm. I sent all that to her. And she said to me, she said, I know you are my sister. And I said, how do you know that? She said, because you look just like our mother. You're a split image of her. And so I said, can I call you? And she said, yes. And when I called her, we were on the phone. We were holding back the tears because she never knew she had any other siblings. She was raised as an only child. So I said, but did any of the family know? Nobody in the family knew. The only two people that knew that my mother was pregnant with me was my grandmother and my mother. That's mm-hmm. it. None of the aunts and uncles, none of them. And she said, I have an older sister. And I'm like, yep, I'm the big sister, yo. You know, that felt good, you know, I'm a big sister. I got a younger sister, yeah, you know. And so she was telling me about the family Zoom. And so she said that coming Friday, they was having family Zoom. She said, but I don't want you and your family to get on. She said, because I got to break the news to them. Mm-hmm. So she broke the news to them and, you know, they were like, are you serious? You sure this is your sister? She's like, yes. So when she sends pictures, they like, yeah, she looks just like Susan. And my sister brought a big point out to them. She said, and what is Susan's full name? They said it was Susan Paulette Simon. She said, my sister's name is Paulette. And they was like, there it is. So that Friday went by, she told everybody. Then the following Friday, she said, sis, everybody wants to meet you and your family. I said, okay. And this was in, okay, I met them in November. Yeah. And so.
November of 2020?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And so you get on family Zoom and, you know, I'm excited, but I'm nervous, mm-hmm. you know. And I had my children on, but my two oldest couldn't get on because they had to work. Mm-hmm. So my three younger ones, they got on and, you know, we're all excited and everybody's coming on and I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh my God, this is my family, you know? I'm getting to meet them for the first time ever in my life. And we get on family Zoom and I'm like, hi. And everybody is like, that is Susan. And I'm saying, okay, so, you know, we go around, everybody's introducing themselves and my kids is introducing themselves. I got to introduce myself. Then I got to meet my great aunt, you know, and I got to meet her family and my sister and my niece and my cousin Alan and his wife. And, you know, it's so many of us. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there and I begin to cry. And my sister is texting me, sis, are you okay? And I'm like, yes, but you all don't know how long I looked for you all. And all the obstacles I had to go through because I didn't know a name. And I said, the very person I also wanted to meet is gone. I said, because I wanted to let her know, I know the truth. I'm not angry with you. Because sometimes when adoptees are adopted and they find out, they get angry with the birth parents because they want to know why. You know, why did you give me away? What was wrong with me that you gave me away? But when you find out the truth, then you can deal with it. And I was also, my heart was rejoicing because here it is, I'm meeting my family for the first time, and the warmth and the love they showed me and my children, they were like, yeah, she's a Simon, you know, because we really enjoy ourselves when we're on family Zoom. You know, my cousin Alan, he's the one, he just keep it live. He be cracking jokes and everything, and we just be falling out, you know, and, you know, but we talk about, you know, what's going on in the world and, you know, what's going on in the White House and, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, next year, we are doing a family gathering where it would just be the offsprings to my great grandparents. Mm-hmm. So like my grandfather and his siblings. So next year in Youngstown, Ohio, we're having a huge family gathering. And it's not only for my aunt who's going to be 99 years old, it's also for the family to meet me and my children face to face.
Wow.
Because we only see each other on Zoom. Mm-hmm. Now I got to meet some of my family because my sister's daughter graduated from high school and she had this beautiful, I mean, it was really laid out, graduation party for her. Mm-hmm. I went to it. Because my sister lives in Jersey, I went to it, and I got to meet some of my family because they came in, they drove in, you know, from Ohio, and I got to meet them. Some came from New York, you know, and it was just amazing. I just blended right in. You know, we all sat outside because she had it in her backyard because she has a huge backyard, and she had like this round table. With a fire pit. It was two, a small one and a big one. So the Simons had to sit at the big one because it was a lot of us. Mm-hmm. And we sat around and I was just looking like, wow, this is my family. You know, we got up, we danced, you know, we talked. And when they seen me face to face, the first thing they said, you look just like Susan. Everybody kept saying that, you look just like Susan, you look just like your mom. It's like looking at a ghost, you know? And I told him I wish she was here so I can meet her, but you know, God saw otherwise. But I said, I'm here now. And you know, yes, I had my guards up because what I do when I first meet people, I put up a guard because I really got to get to know you. And, but when I went to my sister's house, it's like the Lord just told me, you can let your guards down now. This is your family. They're not gonna hurt you. This is your family. And so, I mean, I just kept looking like, wow, this is is my family. This is not all of them. You know, because
it's a fraction of your family, but
yes, you know, it's just a little, you know,
and but I'm, more than
it's trust me, it's a lot of us. We would have, I think, not exaggerating, we would need a stadium if it, all of us came together. We would, and their children and their children, we would need a stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and to know, you know, the history of my family, now I know where my children and I, my children never went to school to play an instrument.
Mm-hmm.
My oldest son played the drums. My youngest son played a bass guitar. I mean, not my youngest son, my middle son played a bass guitar. My youngest son played the organ, the piano, and the drums. My baby girl plays the piano, okay? My oldest daughter plays the violin. None of them went to school for it. They play by ear. My oldest son, he writes music. All three of my boys, they write music. My youngest daughter, she sings. My oldest daughter, she praise dances. None, all ministry. And I never knew where my children got this from. I knew it came from God, but I never knew where they got it from.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm finding out my great grandfather was a pastor of a church in Ohio. My grandfather and his brothers had a quartet. They would sing all over the place. I had aunts that sang. My cousin Neat, she's a choir director. My cousin Janet, she plays the piano and the organ. I mean, it, and I'm going, so it came from my family.
Yeah.
You know, my mother, for what I understand, she loved music. She wanted to go to school for music. I'm like that. I can be by myself and just turn on music and my day go fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. When I was younger, my mother used to go, "You're not going outside?" I'm like, "No." She says, "So what are you going to do?" "I'm going to sit in my room and listen to music." Never knew why.
Mm-hmm.
Love doing hair. Find out my grandmother was a licensed beautician. You know, and I'm going, okay, didn't know then where all these different things came from. But now I know,
mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why I tell anyone, if you're looking for your biological family, keep in mind several things. There's a good point and there's a bad. Some people, when they put their children up for adoption and the child want to find out who they are, and they may find their mom, they may find their dad, they may find both. Both may still be alive. At times, the birth parents don't want to deal with the child that they put up for adoption. And that's a hurting feeling. Me, I'm different. I was blessed. Yes, my mom passed away. My father's still alive. I know who he is. He has spoke to me and I have spoken to him. My family has accepted me, and not just me, my children. Okay, we're open arms, show us the love, everything. But a lot of adoptees won't get that because you have, they may get it from family members, but the person that they're looking for may not want to deal with them. Because they may be ashamed that they couldn't take care of them. Or sometimes you just have parents, I don't want to talk to them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's sad, because just give the child a chance to know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a lot of people that are scared, you know? And some of them was forced to put their children up for adoption.
Yeah.
You know, because the mother felt like, okay, I don't know how my child is going to take care of this baby, you know. Mm-hmm. She's young, the baby's young. Who's going to help her? How is she going to support the child, you know? But, you know, I'm here to tell them, when you find your family, and even if it, you were looking for your parents and they don't accept you, if you have other family members that accept you, that's who you deal with until your parents come around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because right now I have helped several of my friends They did their ancestry DNA. They was looking for their dad. They was looking for their mom. They found their family. You know, one of my friends, both of her parents are gone, but she has sisters and brother and a brother. They have accepted her. Welcomed her with open arms. You know, another young lady, her mother passed away, but she has siblings. They have accepted her. You know, and I just told them, you know, I'm blessed because all the years that I ran into the brick wall, now here's the big blessing. I have my family in my life. You know, I haven't forgotten my family I grew up with. It's just that I have to get to know my biological family, and I'm getting to know them. And I'm the type of person, I don't connect with everybody. My spirit doesn't connect with everybody, but I connect with them. Any family member I have met, our spirits connected. And they say, yeah, you assigned it. You know? And I go, yes, I am. You know? And, you know, I just said, you know, if there's a door that's open where I can help an adoptee, you know, I want to help them. Because there's a lot of kids out here who just feel like my parents gave me up. They didn't want me. You know, some of them even sometime may even think of committing suicide. You don't know what's going through their head. Because why is it I had to be put up for adoption? That's the main question they have in their mind. Because I went through that. I went through it. I went through why. Why me? You know, why didn't my parents want me? You know, and I had people saying to me, that's why your family didn't want you. That's why your mom and dad didn't want you. You know, they just added more flame to the fire. But I took that and said, okay, well, we'll see. And then when I found out the truth, it's nothing to what they were saying to me. You know. They thought they knew my story, but they don't. You know, and like I said, I'm appreciative that Spence Chapin want to share my story. And I even told my family, I said, y'all, my story, the whole world gonna see it because it's going on every social media. And they said, really? I'm like, oh yeah, you know? Yeah. And, you know, and I'm appreciative to the people who did support me, which is the Simon family. I have my close friend Teresa Smith, my close friend Eartha White, my mentor, plus I call her my mom because she's the one I call, and you know, she's the shoulder I cry on. Marianne Hawthorne, she's been there from day one, you know, and my children. This is the reason why I can move on. Just looking at my kids and my grandchildren, they are my inspiration because they are the ones also that push me to do it when I wanted to throw in the towel and say, you know what, forget it. You know, I'm not gonna never find it, just forget it. But my kids were like, mommy, no, this is what you want. You cried too many nights and we heard you. And now when I cry, it's tears of joy. You know, because I have them in my life. Everything that I want is there already. You know, and when we get with each other, we enjoy each other.
For everyone who's listening, if you want to hear more about Paulette and her story, we have a 3-part blog post that is live on our website. As always, it's a pleasure to chat. I always love it. You're such a good storyteller. I could listen to you for ages. But thank you so much for your time, Paulette, and for telling your story and sharing it with us, with Spence Chapin, and then also with the world, like you said earlier.
Okay, thank you. So right. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Paulette.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Adoption Talk. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to subscribe and leave us a rating wherever you get your podcasts.
You can also head to spence-chapin.org/adoptiontalk to leave feedback, suggest episode topics, and sign up for updates on the latest episodes. See you next time.